Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Samiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Samvadhi Pasatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurachise Namo Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namo Sute Satta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Krishyavanu Sute Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottama Devim Sarasvatim Dasa Nato Jayama Dhyaje Mukakuro Divacharam Pangulangai Tegirin Yatki Pathamahan Vande Sri Guru Vimatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Nisharam Machita Madhgata Prana
Machita Madhgata Prana
Rodayanta Paraspara Katayanta Shaman Nitya
Katayanta Shaman Nitya
Pushanti Charamanti
Charamanticha
Machita Madhgata Prana
Machita Madhgata Prana
Rodayanta Paraspara
Rodayanta Paraspara
Bodhayanta Parasparam
Bodhayanta Parasparam
Katayanta Shavam Nitya
Katayanta Shavam Nitya
Sushyanti Charamanti
Charamanti
Translation by His Divine Grace to the A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. The thoughts of my pure devotees,
the thoughts of my pure devotees
dwell in me.
Dwell in me.
Their lives are fully devoted to my service.
Their lives are fully devoted to my service.
And they derive great satisfaction.
And we have great satisfaction
and bliss.
And bliss.
From always enlightening one another.
From always enlightening one another.
And conversing about me.
And conversing about me.
Report. Here the devotees whose characteristics are mentioned here engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing Him with other devotees. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself, and in the mature stage they are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in His abode. Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of a living entity. There are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different planets of the universe, and out of them there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. This devotional service is just like a seed, and if it is sown in the heart of a living entity, and if he goes on hearing and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that seed fructifies, just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular watering. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters into the Brahma-jyoti effulgence in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky also, that plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called Goloka Vrindavana, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as the plant grows, fruits and flowers, the plant of devotional service also produces fruits, and the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. This plant of devotional service is fully described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila chapter 19. It is explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in love of God. Then he cannot live even for a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord. Just as a fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and His devotees. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees. As stated in the Bhagavatam itself, 12.13.18, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. In this narration, there is nothing about material activities, economic development, sex gratification, or liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and His devotees is fully described. Thus the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take constant, continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures, just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 9, in the matter of opulences of the Absolute. Harihi Om Tat Sat. I arrived tonight from India with a one-day stop in Birmingham for the Rath Yatra. First Rath Yatra in Birmingham, England. They have over 10,000 people taking prasad in the town center. And the nice stage program, the Consul General of India visited the mayor and mayoress, gave an inaugural speech, and representatives from the interfaith community, Buddhist, Roman Catholic, Mayavadi, and somebody else were all there. So since hope I'll be able to keep my train of thought here. This verse is amazing. This verse has got so much information. Prabhupada has explained how the devotees are engaging themselves fully in transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord. The living entity is by nature always serving someone. It's our nature to be a servant, just like the mother serves the children, the husband serves the family. That even the governors serve their state and the president serves the country. Even having a big position of leadership or responsibility means you have to serve those people dependent upon you. What to speak of others. So it's our nature to be serving. Ultimate service is when we can serve the Supreme Lord Himself. We call Supreme Lord by His spiritual name, Krishna. Krishna means attractive, all attractive, and Na means reservoir of all transcendental happiness. That's why we like to have everyone gather together in the temple to taste the next drop of this transcendental happiness. Today in the temple we observe the first day of the Julai Yatra, a 5-day festival of the year. Starting on the 11th day of the moon cycle, going until the 15th day of the waning moon. Waxing moon. And the culminates of Balaram Purnima, which is on the 3rd? 4th, right. The 3rd. Sure? Today is the 30th. Tomorrow's 31st. First. Check your calendar. I know I'm doing a deity installation on those days in Phoenix, Arizona. So, this verse is describing about devotees who lives have been fully devoted to Krishna's service. So their thoughts dwell in Krishna. So when you perform this, the Julan, the swinging festival, this is to remind us how Krishna, when he was a child in Vrindavan, he was having his childhood pastimes. One of which was to swing together with Radha in the forest of Raja. So we get to participate in that pastime. So these different deity festivals help facilitate us to remember Krishna, to remember his pastimes. And not only that, to also perform a personal service. The deities are a type of incarnation of God. They're called the Archa Avatar, Archa Vigraha. They're a manifestation of Krishna in a visible form, so that we can do just like we did tonight, we can serve the Lord. Generally, the pujaris get all the mercy.
Hey.
Who's a pujari here? Over down here is a pujari. These are the fortunate ones. They can do all the service and the personally dressing the deities, personally putting them asleep, waking them up, offering them food, and many other types of deity services. I was recently in Sri Rangam for the temple opening. I showed reopening, I mean the consecration, the Purnakumbha Abhishek of the Kalashas. So here's the they have many different festivals for the deities that every night a priest comes out with an instrument which is something like a sitar. I don't know exactly. They have so many different names. Sitar, sarod, sarangi, and so on. So I don't know. I don't think it's a sitar, but it looks like in the same kind of look, only some other technical name. And they play, as they put the deities to bed, and out in front for 20 minutes, he plays music to like lullaby the deities to sleep. Little bhajan. In Tirupati, I saw that in the morning before Mangal Arati, one lady, who doesn't have to be a pujari, comes and puts a little designed with colored rice flour called Rangoli in front of the altar. So, like this, there's so many different little services throughout the day that devotees can perform for the deities, like cooking, cleaning, and of course then the outreach programs of bringing devotees to the temple, which the deity appreciates. The idea is that when we engage in the Krishna service, we get bliss. Because it's our nature to serve Krishna, we're a part of Krishna, so the healthy hand will serve the whole body. The healthy soul serves Krishna because he's part of Krishna, who is the sum total of universal existence. So we go on serving the Lord. Someone might think, well, there's no end in sight. I'll just be serving and serving. Well, there isn't an end. It goes on. Service to the one eternally. That's why this is called the eternal religion. It has no beginning and no end. So we can go on serving Krishna eternally and we'll be feeling very blissful. At the same time, there's changes in things that happen. As Prabhupada explained here, that in the beginning, we get the bliss from the devotional service. But in the end, the happiness comes from the relationship with Krishna. When one is integrated in Krishna's eternal pastimes in the spiritual world, then they're happy in accordance with their relationship. There's a cowherd boy. He's happy that he's a friend of Krishna. And he's thinking about how he can share his lunch with Krishna. His mother packed some chapati and simple kind of meal. He's very happy to hear that. But that relationship is what actually satisfying the devotee. apparently completely identify. They forget all their material existence. They forget other things. That all goes like a dream. They may remember it in the back of their mind like a dream that happened, but actively they're engaging in Krishna service. In the spiritual, in a particular relationship, and the relationship is what fixes them up. So that's one point that Prabhupada raised here. So while we're serving and chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then actually what we're doing is watering a devotional creeper. If you put water on the spiritual creeper, then it becomes green and so when we water our spiritual creeper by chanting Hare Krishna, it grows and grows and grows. The Prabhupada uses an analogy here that just as a creeper growing on a tree keeps growing. This is something like the fable they say here in America, Jack and the Beanstalk. Where someone planted the beanstalk and it grew up into like outer space. Well, here the spiritual creeper just keeps growing and growing. Maybe the person who's watering can't see how high it's going or where it's going, but they're getting the benefit. So they keep watering and it keeps growing until it breaks through all the material boundaries and goes to the spiritual world. We're there. They take shelter of the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. So when the creeper takes the shelter of Radha and Madhava in the spiritual world, that time flowers and fruits come out on the creeper. What are these flowers? No? Cecilia? Stephanie? The preliminary stage of prema. Bhava. Before prema comes bhava. Before the fruit comes the flowers. So the flowers are ecstatic love of Krishna. When one is an ecstatic love of Krishna, there are eight different ecstasies that are manifested in their body. Anybody remember what they are?
Standing of hair on the body.
Standing of hair on the body. Perspiring.
Loss
of car keys. What did you say? No.
Choking of the memory.
Choking of the voice. Yes. Getting choked up. Tears. Trembling in the body. Vata. Huh? Yeah, but that's not one of the eight. There's one. Well, there's one more.
First
you already hit that one. Mm-hmm. Two more, actually. Raise your hand. Cheers. That's already been said.
Rolling on the floor.
That's extracurricular. That's a manifestation of that.
Okay. Extracurricular.
Laughing in ecstasy. One more or two more.
Dancing.
Well, that's also, but that's not one of the eight symptoms. That's another activity one does when you're having those symptoms. Becoming stuck. Totally stuck. Like frozen, immobilized, in ecstasy. There's another one that's yawning.
thank you so much. That's an unusual one. Sometimes it happens. Many devotees facing that one. But all these, of course, happen in material life, but when they happen in ecstasy, the impetus is Krishna's devotion. And then it's something super special. You just can't compare that happiness with any kind of other happiness. Other happiness is like pale in comparison. So to get that kind of ecstasy or to remain in it. Like in the beginning of the movement, Prabhupada sometimes would tell the young people, stay high forever. Don't depend on artificial things. Don't depend on drugs and intoxication to be high, to be elevated in your consciousness. Rather, chant the holy names of Krishna. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaya Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, we water the plant and the plant grows and grows. Flowers are coming out. Then comes the fruit. What's the fruit?
Bring your love, Krishna.
You have that one, right? I said Krishna Prema is totally out of this world. Cannot even begin to understand the depth of ecstasy that the person feels from their Krishna Prema. So that's how much is discussed about it. But there are also 8 levels of Krishna Prema. It's like there are 8 levels coming up to Baba. There's 8 levels of Krishna Prema. And Radharani experienced the topmost level. So did Madhavendra Puri, so did Lord Chaitanya. Most of us who won't ever reach that level, but it's not reachable. But anywhere in prema, you're fully satisfied. Any of the levels. One can go to different levels. When one is experiencing, for instance, ecstasy, and bhava, the mind can't understand what's happening. It's beyond the mental platform. I mean, the mind can understand that when you drink something, how it tastes, when you feel something, how it feels. It's aware of physical pain and pleasure. It can see the source of that, usually. But in Krishna Bhava, when chanting Hare Krishna, when doing some devotional service, they get overwhelmed with ecstasy. And the mind sees that what's going on. But since it's not coming from sense contact, he didn't get one yet. So that even the mind gets a little bewildered. What's going on? Why is the person feeling so much ecstasy and happiness? It's totally beyond. You transcend the mind. The intelligence can understand that this is ecstasy. And this is coming, not coming from a mental platform. So, we have to be expert gardeners. We get the seed of devotion by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. We plant that seed in our heart and we begin to sing and chant and dance. And then it becomes stronger, bigger, taller, and deeper. grows and grows until it reaches the Lord Shri Radha Madhava, sprouts the fruits and the flowers, and the devotees in complete transcendental ecstasy. So to maintain that ecstasy, then we have to maintain a constant activity of devotional service. Anything else I missed here? So somebody, once they get a taste of this love of Krishna, they're so much addicted to that, so much attached to that, that they can't live without it. Just like a fish can't live without water. And then they just naturally, the devotee always wants to serve Krishna. Of course, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, that doesn't mean they have to give up their normal activities, but they Krishnaize their activities. Just like we eat, they'll offer their food to Krishna and eat that, just like we do so many chores in our life, in our day, in our week. So those are different chores that are done Jerry's getting all the mercy in there. Performing some worship for the deities. So we can worship in that deity room, of course, or you can also worship from outside. You can also worship by preaching, by doing Harinam, by distributing books, by somehow bringing the message of Krishna to others. We want to reach the stage where we get so much attachment to Krishna that spontaneously we want to serve Him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would discuss with his intimate associates about the pastimes of Krishna in a place called Gombira in Jagannath Puri. How many of you visited Gombira? Only one. Anybody else other than Balabhadra? PK, you didn't? You visited. You're being humble. Gombira. Who has visited Gombira? You visited? That's the place where Lord Chaitanya would sit with his associates and hear the pastimes of Krishna. It's a very special place. It's a very small little room. Smaller than the Atlanta of two bathrooms. Just a little room. And Lord Chaitanya would be staying inside this little room and then sometime with three, four disciples, associates, we would discuss. There, Lord Chaitanya was personally practicing this system of talking about Krishna. And many pastimes happened at the Gombira. One of his godbrothers, Govinda Das, was assigned to Lord Chaitanya to help him. So sometimes when Lord Chaitanya would go into so much ecstasy that in the night he tried to run out from the room and hurt himself. So that Lord Chaitanya wouldn't leave the room, he would sleep in front of the doorway. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya would get so much ecstasy, he'd just jump over and run out. One time after lunch, Lord Chaitanya was very tired from a morning of kirtan, chanting and dancing. And he led the, he was convinced that it's time by the devotees that he should watch out for Lord Chaitanya's well-being. So one day he also would massage the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya after his kirtan. So one day Lord Chaitanya was so tired he just lay down in the room. But he lay in such a way, it's a rectangular room, that his body blocked the doorway and his feet were on the other side. So Govinda Das asked him, please turn over so that I can Govinda Das came and requested Lord Chaitanya that please move over so I can come in and massage your lotus feet. And Lord Chaitanya, he said, look at I'm too tired to move. If you want, you can step over me and then massage my feet. But then Govinda Das thought that it's offensive to step over the guru. So he refused to step over. So then Govinda Das, he didn't know what to do. Then he was seeing the whole situation. Then he thought what to do. He put his cloth over Lord Chaitanya, stepped over his body, and then he began massaging his lotus feet. Then after some time, Lord Chaitanya woke up and he saw Govinda Das was sitting in the room, and he said, "How? What are you doing in the room?" He said, "Well, I came in to give you a massage." "Well, how did you get in?" "So, well, I stepped over you by putting a cloth over your body, then stepping over and then massaged you." "So then why didn't you go out and have your meal?" Then Govinda Das explained that "For serving you, I stepped over you. If I'm stepping over you, I have to go to hell. For serving you, let me go to hell. But to go out to eat my lunch, if I step over you, then that's just for my own sense gratification. So it's not worth it. I'm not going to commit offenses for my own convenience." So many things like that happen in the Gumbhira, but mainly they are talking about Krishna. They would be crying, singing. So just like we're discussing about Krishna now, the devotees actually like to discuss about Krishna. They like to hear about Krishna. They like to hear about his pastime. This is a regular purification, just like bathing. That's what happens when we develop our taste. From the neophyte stage, we don't yet have a taste, and that's when we have to just do, we have to pay our dues, so to speak. We have to just go on to, wandering the creeper. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Any question? Yes.
I got two questions. One is, when we first come to devotional service, sometimes we experience incredible kind of ecstasy or transcendental bliss, but we describe it as mind is not understanding. And as we continue devotional service, we don't seem to reach that same height of ecstasy. And we're just wondering if you might say why that is. And also, like, reaching the level of Bob and Prema, do we have to be completely free from material attachments before we enter into those levels?
What are the plan? I may not remember. Birmingham time right now, it's 4 in the morning. And Indian time, I didn't really think that it's like tomorrow at 10. So, in the morning, yeah. It's interesting. Why devotees in the beginning, they feel a special ecstasy? Okay. Anyone in the beginning feel some special ecstasy? It's not that you don't have to continue feeling it. But usually what happens, so kind of sleep?
Yeah.
It took a long time to say, yeah. This is an interesting question, because sometimes people in the beginning, anything that's new, also they do it very enthusiastically, and then so maybe that full enthusiasm they're putting facilitates that. After some time, when people do something in the material world, then you're bored from it, you want to do something else. So there's a stage, kind of like in the beginning, your mind may be doing it not because of, it's not giving any obstacle, just something new, let's try it out. But then after a while, the mind gets rested, let's do something else now. Okay, we did this, you know. But hopefully in this period, the intelligence has been educated enough by studying the literature, by hearing the classes, by getting association, to wait a minute, this is what I want to do. So then there's like a crisis where the mind and intelligence have a fight. And that's a very important step in one's spiritual life. Usually people go through it in about the third month. But it may happen, but it's individual. Some people may never go through it in this lifetime. Maybe they went through it in the last lifetime already. More profound in some people than others. So that may be a partial factor. Then one after one gets over that hump, and then the mind is forced to surrender. It may not have initially the same enthusiasm it did when it was something just new. But some people compare that to like when you're running. You first run and you're very fast, and then you lose your breath. You keep running, you get a second breath, and then that goes for a longer period. Maybe you're not running as fast, but you're in the long haul. So that's the one factor. Other factors are that in the beginning one hasn't committed any offenses yet. And as you go on doing devotional service, you start to make offenses to other devotees, to the devis. And as you rack up offenses, that impedes your experience of ecstasy. So that's why it's very important that we don't be offensive to the devotees. I'm sure none of you here, I mean, hopefully none of you here has ever committed any offense. Why are you laughing?
Because everybody has. It's not
anything offensive, it would be in Krishna prema. So that offenses are another factor that can give our ecstasy. The slacking off a little bit for whatever reason, weeds coming out, other desires, other things, and we just don't put the same kind of enthusiasm in the efforts anymore. It's sometimes a factor. But if somebody, that's why when one experiences some ecstasy, sometimes one gets it as a special mercy. Someone really just did some wonderful service, it's a big festival, and bang, there they are, they're just in total bliss and ecstasy. And they never experienced something so wonderful, but then they get proud every event. I'm an ecstasy. Look at these other neophytes. Then we start getting offensive and spacing out. Instead of, we forget that in material life you get whatever happiness by sense gratification, by trying to enjoy something. And so sometimes what happens when you start to enjoy devotional service, then we approach it in the same mentality we do sense gratification. We want to enjoy the devotional service. And so we got the ecstasy when we wanted to please Krishna. And we were trying to please Guru and Krishna so much, then we got ecstasy. Then you get attached to the ecstasy, then you want to get ecstasy. And you're focusing on that, but then you don't get ecstasy. You get ecstasy when you're in devotional service, when you're serving Krishna. Because it's a reciprocation of your love for Krishna, which you're expressing through your service. And then Krishna reciprocates, and he's feeling happy with your service, and you feel overwhelmed with happiness. So you have to always keep in mind how it works. And sometimes, even though people may be older devotees, they get into this a little bit of a, I won't say it's full on sahajya, but it's into their attitude gets off the perfect track, and then they get derailed, and they don't feel the same happiness. Distractions. You've been in the material world for so many millions of births. It's very easy to slip into some distractions. And that's a big problem. That's why they're supposed to every day read the Bhagavatam, hear the Bhagavatam, chant our Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, do our devotional service, because it's very easy to slip. What are all these laughs? Why are you laughing? You ever slip?
No, he didn't.
He's an ecstasy server. Yeah?
I feel like I've really experienced what you were just talking about. Although, not until you said it, I didn't realize that. But just really enjoying your service and starting and sort of becoming attached to the bliss as, this is the first time I've ever heard it said by the way. And I couldn't really hear you after you sort of winding it up and you said if someone sort of gets derailed after that happens. What, like, I just feel very disillusioned. So much so that it's hard for me to get back on track. And it's like so it almost feels like I was feeling the very best that I've ever felt in my Christian consciousness, and the rug was pulled out from under. That's really how it felt. I don't try, and I get
Try to do things which you build up your enthusiasm again. Someone nice to explain that I gave in a class, how just like in order to fly, you have to have a certain speed. Sometimes we get, you know, we get below that speed. If a plane gets below the speed of crashes.
Well, I got to go now. I can get to Croatia. He's got something. I'm sending out the thing back to field. I can't figure out what to feel. So I'm just going to have to call you from the airport. I'm driving now. There's so many things to say.
Fantastic.
I
don't believe it. You have my passport now.
Yeah, I have it.
I can't tell without looking at the passport.
Well, the point is, I can get both of these if I send it tomorrow. I need to Delta dash it or send it right now.
Can we just sign it?
Yeah, well, I can sign it. That's not a problem. The point is, some of the things I can't tell.
Some things I can't tell you, isn't
it? What is it?
I don't know.
Do I have to call you?
No,
I mean, I'm sorry, you know. I gotta go. What to do?
You can call me.
Can you call you?
Sure.
I don't know,
what is
it?
What is my name?
Okay.
It's like one of my disciples was an engineer for a commercial airline, and he was a jumbo jet 747 engineer. Now they have new fly-by-the-wire systems. They don't need an engineer, but they used to have a third, two pilot, co-pilot, and engineer. Engineer would run the chalk out the different things. Right? He'd make the thing, he'd run the throttle, usually. So, little navigating, before they had computers, doing it all. So, he told about how one time they were coming in for a landing at Heathrow in London, and then all of a sudden they hit an air pocket. And the speed, they have to always maintain 160 miles speed. Minimum. They go below that, then they're not so aerodynamic. The 747 just fall out of the sky. And they got down to like 159 or something, and the wings start to shake, and that's a symptom, like you got about 4 seconds before you crash. And then just at that moment, he put the throttle down full speed when. Because somehow the pilot was spacing out, and it was like no time to space out. So he just throttled it full speed, pulled him out of the, so they call it stalling. So sometimes in our devotional service, we get into this like stalling situation. We're just not engaging in devotional service. And if you get into some people, come for the Panihati festival here, and they cook, they help with preparing, or they do this or they do something, and just having a lot of intense devotional service gives them, just takes them out of their rut. Sometimes it's a Janmashtami festival. Festivals are a good chance to kind of get a boost, because mercy is flowing a lot extra than different things can be an impetus for that enthusiasm and devotional service. So trying to reach out and get some of the mercy, and then once you're flying, then don't then try to stay up there. And then as long as you keep flying, no problem. If you crash, you gotta get your speed up again. And so it's a little harder. Taking off takes more energy than coasting. On the initial, or that's a festival sometimes, it's a famous time of getting your speed up because it's a festival, so everybody's in a good mood. It's after the festival not to slack off again too much.
Oh, very important.
Yes, sir? What's your name again? Edward. Edward Paul. Bonds. Bonds in Bengali is a bamboo. You can also pray for mercy.
Sure.
Give me a job.
Marketing.
That's what's on the weekly. I have a disciple who was marketing, and while he was marketing, he found it very difficult as an executive to preach to his other work colleagues because they were not really very receptive. But he would use some of his income for Krishna conscious purposes, and he'd use his experience in marketing in helping the market Krishna consciousness through congregational preaching programs and festivals. At one point when he was appointed as a manager for a California.com, making very good money, but then the money company collapsed. So then he became a temple president in one place, but he was separated from his family, who was living somewhere else, who didn't work out. And he went into the Amway thing for a while and was doing that. Other titles, multi-level marketing. And then he got another opportunity to manage a temple. So now he's dedicated the temple to Bhakti Riksha, which is a kind of a spiritual delegation of marketing to various groups of people. And so because he was dedicated to make his temple a Bhakti Riksha oriented temple, that it's been less than 2 years now, and he has 20 groups of 200 people. 10 to 15 people per group. So then, but that's, we have many people who are also working outside, and then they can preach to their work colleagues, or they can, in their spare time, like in the Middle East, we have a lot of people working there. And a little bit they preach to work colleagues, if they're right friends, to the home. They get interested people, have a house program, gradually form small groups of interested people, and have regular discussion on groups on spiritual life, self-realization. And then sometimes they do weekend outings to different places with these groups or help with other groups. And go deeper into some of the matters. One can always carry some appropriate literature with them, and when they're just doing ordinary mundane things like shopping and sitting in the laundromat or other things, they can hand out the literature to friends and other people. We did a brainstorming session once in Los Angeles. How many places are there that you can tell somebody about Krishna or preach? and we came up with 120 in about an hour session. They hold the North American Championship. They brought up this point, laundromats. And what do people do? You have 10 people sitting in a laundromat watching your laundry spin around. The perfect, I got a captive audience. They said other places like the video shop. I don't know exactly how you do that in Blockbusters. Grocery store. Somebody said they got their bread delivery man, their grocery delivery man to chant Hare Krishna. In the Los Angeles temple, they got the local policeman on the beat to chant to the Hare Krishna beat. So we try to empower our congregational members who are working so that they can also take up a leadership role with as quickly as possible to help other facilitate younger devotees. Maybe they're 6 months, we'll say someone is 6 days, and help them to get stabilized in their spiritual life. It depends how much time they have, how much they can give for studying and hearing the philosophy and getting an understanding, getting purified by chanting, how willing they are to take some responsibility. If somebody's enthusiastic, they can go very quickly. But it also takes patience. It's never as quick as you hope. And have the conviction that if we stick with the process, it will give that result. The suffering. Voluntarily, everybody suffers, so everybody develops character, but voluntarily accepting inconvenience for the sake of spiritual upliftment, spiritual service, the voluntarily tolerating some suffering for a spiritual purpose builds character. Just suffering, you can make it depressed from it. You know, there may be so many things that happen. Just like if we do something for Krishna, in the course of doing that, we have to endure some kinds of inconvenience that builds our character. Just like I've seen in Bangladesh, for instance, there's 20% of the people are basically devotees of Krishna, and 80% are devotees of Allah. So when you have a Muslim majority, there's all kinds of Muslims in different. One are more liberal or tolerant than others, some are not so tolerant. So there's a certain degree of persecution to be a minority group. So in India, the Hindus are the majority, so they take it like for granted. They don't necessarily have to suffer any kind of inconvenience for being a Hindu or a devotee of Krishna or whatever. But in Bangladesh, if they convert to a Muslim, they get a job easier than them. So just to tolerate, for the sake of maintaining their own convictions, I see that in them it develops, they have much more enthusiasm than their counterparts, the Bengalis, say in West Bengal. You just go from one place to the next and you can see a tremendous difference of enthusiasm. So someone said maybe that factor is because of they're always making a sacrifice just for their religious identity. So sometimes to stand out and make a statement. If you go around in robes, you're making a statement. So sometimes you face, I won't say necessarily persecution, maybe discrimination, prejudice, or that's also an opportunity to preach to people. on the flight over here, there was somebody sitting next to me, and he said, "Why are you dressed like this?" Or for, "Could you explain to me your religion? You know, what's the advantage you have?" So for a half hour, I preached to him, and then later he told the story. It was an interesting person. So if I was distressed and I was so tired, I had that opportunity. But people in suits and tie can also be undercover agents. Not everybody is the stereotype. And we have, in Bangladesh, we also have many Muslims who come to our programs, and they like their programs, and they also chant Hare Krishna. I see it's not different from the chanting Allah. So you get all kinds of people, all circumstances. I don't have that opportunity. When I'm flying sometimes. In between temples. Not because the Krishna is with us. So come and get your Ekadasi sweet here.
Yeah.
We're with Krishna.